Can go.
Okay, now I will call to order the January 21st, 2020 meeting of the Mono County Housing Authority. Our first item is to once again say the Pledge of Allegiance. Supervisor Gardner, please lead us.
Thank you. Ready to begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. And now we have an opportunity for the public to address the board on the Housing Authority Board on items not on today's agenda. Is there any public comment here in Mammoth? The public comment in Bridgeport? Moving on then to item two, we have approval of board minutes from the Housing Authority meeting of June
19, 2018. Move to approve the minutes of July 19, 2018.
Second. All right, motion by Supervisor Gardner, second by Supervisor Peters. Any further discussion or public comment? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes 5-0. Thank you. Next item, B, the very important item, Mono County Housing Authority purpose. Our Community Development Director, Ruby Sigamaro, will lead us through an introduction of what this is all about.
Good morning, Madam Chair. Good morning, Housing Authority. Or, I'm sorry, good afternoon. Now I'm caught up with the day. So, the Housing Authority is, according to the bylaws, supposed to meet once a year in March. We did not manage to have that meeting last year for a variety of reasons. We're almost back to March again this year, but we thought we'd better just get a Housing Authority meeting as quickly as we can. And so as far as the purpose of the Housing Authority, I'm going to start with the punchline, which is that the Housing Authority does not have any dedicated staff or dedicated funding, and it has no programs that it is currently implementing right now. So it's really kind of an empty vessel and a shell. However, I want to emphasize it's not necessarily a bad thing, because we do know that there's a housing need, and this provides us with essentially a blank slate and a very open tool that we can use to mold for what it is that we want to accomplish with it. And so I think what I'm going to do really is just go over and outline, you know, the way that housing authorities are typically used in other jurisdictions, the type of role that they fulfill, the type of role that county staff typically fulfills, and look at how we bridge the gap between the two. So I had put this question out to the county planning director's listserv to find out how other counties interact with their housing authorities or similar types of entities. And for the most part, the answers that I got back are that county staff typically participates and assists with the work that housing authorities do. A lot of it is in policies and ordinances and the review of proposed development projects, but they don't directly participate, or they aren't the sole housing authority staff. There are different models. Some of them actually are housing authority staff and participate just really on the planning side. Some of them are not housing authority staff at all, but assist with and collaborate with the Housing Authority by providing this additional input and engaging on behalf of the county with the Housing Authority programs. Housing authorities and other similar types of entities tend to have separate jurisdictional authority. So they are completely separate bodies from the county with separate governing boards and separate decision-making capacity and mission statements that are separate from the county, and then have their own dedicated staff. And often what we see is that housing authorities are more directly involved with the actual construction of housing projects, actually delivering units on the ground, whether that is through construction or through the purchase and sale of properties, or de-restricting those properties and managing those de-restrictions, public-private housing partnerships, and then even like managing rental units for income eligibility. So that's typically what we see housing authorities do. The county, on the other hand, we have a prioritized housing toolbox, which was provided as one of the attachments. When you look through the housing toolbox, really what the county does, because we're regulators, we're trying to incentivize and facilitate the projects that come to us with housing components in them to help them to encourage them being successful. So that's really what those that toolbox is aimed at. Really, though, we have very few developers in Mono County who come with true affordable housing projects that are deed restricted and meet those types of definitions for affordable housing projects. And we simply don't have that private market side driver in Mono County. We have, as long as I've been here, as long as I think they've been available, we've had the state density bonuses in place. We've never had a request, to my knowledge, to utilize those state density bonuses. We just don't have that market side driver. And so it really raises the question of, you know, how do we bridge this gap between the county regulating and doing what we can within our regulatory capacity to incentivize and encourage and facilitate housing project development, but we don't actually build housing, nor do we manage rental programs or buy and sell property. So that gap really between what county services are and then the delivery of physical units, that's typically where you see the housing authority programs. So again, being an empty vessel is not a bad thing because it gives us an opportunity here to decide how we want to craft that and meet that need. It also means there's some decisions that need to be made about what exactly it is that we're trying to deliver. And so Mono County is currently in the process of developing a job description for a housing coordinator position. Someone with more expertise than what current staff has in specifically the housing realm and how these pieces fit together, as well as in the development arena. You know, our planners, again, are regulatory and process-oriented in terms of applying policies to developments and whether or not they meet county standards, as opposed to actually developing a project for construction on the ground. That's sort of a different type of planning. And that's not the area that our planners have a lot of expertise in, nor in the real estate market. Those are sort of subsets that we don't really deal with that much. So hopefully the housing coordinator will have some more of those necessary skill sets and can take the lead on coordinating and implementing county programs at a more holistic level to pull all these pieces together. You'll see in a later staff report that we have related to all the different county programs that are going on that there are various departments that have various housing components that we pursue, and we're definitely not siloed. I know that word has been thrown around. We talk to each other and communicate. We all just have different roles and different programs that we work in, and to the extent we can, we try to coordinate on them. But they're pretty limited in what their roles are and what we can actually deliver. So hopefully, though, somebody, you know, sitting above all that can take in the big picture, connect all the pieces along with the housing authority and the role that it can best fulfill, and start to develop all of that. You also see in the later staff report that there is some funding capacity available to work on this. And so with that, that's kind of as far as we got with really trying to dig into what the housing authority is. I think there are further conversations that need to happen. And for now, the recommendation is to leave it as it is, as a potential tool for the future that we can shape and mold and really make it into something effective. Or if it turns out that there's another tool that would be better to use, then we can, you know, we have not a whole lot invested in the structure of the housing authority, we can go that route too. So it really, right now, is a point of opportunity for us, I think, in considering how we move forward. With that, I'm happy to answer any questions, and also I'm happy to open it up to any other staff that works on the housing issue who may want to comment on anything.
Questions?
Just one. Would you anticipate that the new housing position could then also be designated as the executive director of the housing authority? Would that be something that, or is that even necessary?
I think I'm not super involved in developing that job description. I think that it's something that could probably be considered. I'll defer to CAO Barway. It's probably something that can be considered, and probably something that depends largely on the type of candidates we ultimately get.
Yeah, I would guess at this point that's probably a little premature until you decide exactly what you want to use that housing authority for.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah.
Other questions?
That was my question.
Okay. I just have some comments.
Okay, great. A couple of things. Just some observations. A housing authority is 15 years old this year. It's still a vessel, empty vessel. So I just encourage us to figure it out soon. and either scrap it so we don't have this added stress or workload to create these agenda items. If it's stuff that the county can do without having a, there's no benefit. I haven't heard the benefit yet. If we don't see one after we hire a housing coordinator, then I don't understand why we have the housing authority, from my observation over the years. Because that when it was developed or put into place in 2005, I mean, we had a housing crisis then. We're still there, and it's still an empty vessel. You know, you mentioned the state density bonus. I mean, we could have a local density bonus ordinance. I think we've talked about it. It's in the toolbox. The town's talking about bolstering and changing theirs to make it more effective. But we don't need a housing authority to do that. Those are policies that we can put into place as a county without a housing authority. I don't want to box us in and say we don't do this, we don't do that. Let's not put confines around what the county does or doesn't do. Let's stay open to opportunity to be productive and a good collaborator, instigator on the housing front, whether that's partnering with the town, or I know that it would be really helpful for developments to have projects specific, Section 8 or having choice vouchers. How could, if maybe that's a role, like if there is a role that the County Housing Authority could play, could it be something along that lines? Because that would be really helpful with developments penciling in the town or in other places if they had project specific housing choice vouchers. But if that's not attainable, because that has to be done by the Stanislaus County Housing Authority, then we should know that and move on and start working on other avenues to maybe see if we could get those. And I think that's all I have for now.
So I was under the impression, you can correct me, that it was mandated that we had a housing authority. It's not a mandate?
No.
No. Oh, okay. Well, then I agree with you.
Oh, well, it's good.
Not necessary. Thank you.
I have another way to do it, but
yeah.
Any other board comments or questions? All right. Thank you. Then we will move on to item C, building permit statistics.
And I'll just provide a quick introduction. This is Melissa Bell. She's our somewhat new building permit technician, and she compiled these statistics out of our permitting system, and it's just meant to provide a sort of snapshot of what development activity is like on the county.
Good afternoon. To pull in some of the data to see where the trends are going, looking over the last year, in 2019, we had a total of 168 permits that were issued within the calendar year. And of these, 26 were new residential units. And I broke it down a little bit further, seeing that there were both manufactured homes and conventional construction. And within that, 13 were manufactured homes and 13 were conventional construction. But looking at the year prior, in 2018, there were less manufactured homes and more conventional homes, and found that there were 20 that were conventional construction and 8 that were manufactured homes. So in 2019, we did see an uptick in the percentage. As far as square footage for new homes and additions in 2018, we saw a total of just under 37,000 square feet that were built. And since 2010, building project valuation has been tracked based on the set values per square footage for new construction, and the estimated actual cost for remodels and alterations. For 2018, the total value permitted was approximately $5.6 million compared to $9.4 million in 2018. So we did see a decrease in valuation. approximately 164,000 was taken in between the permit and the plan check fees that were collected for 2019. Building permit trends over the past 15 years show the development bubble in 2006 through 2008 and the market crash that began in 2009. The spike in permits in 2015 was due to increased construction for the homes destroyed in the Round Fire.
All right, any questions? Or comments?
This is good data. Do you have enough information to state where, if this is evenly spread across the county, if there's a particular area of the county that's seeing more? I mean, I would anticipate, particularly with White Mountain Estates too, that a lot of the manufactured homes would be going out there.
That's
because
correct.
That's allowed there. And then you've got your December pending permits. I doesn't surprise me people are trying to get in under the old building codes. Mm-hmm. Do you have any sense of how many of those were successfully processed for people prior to the advent of this year?
Yeah, so the ones that were brought in December, we're going through the review process currently, so none of those have been issued yet. We took in, I want to say it was about 12 total. And to give you, I don't have a lot of time in this position. It's only been since the very end of August. And from August until November, I had taken in about 2 single family residence permits that were stick-built conventional construction. And I would say about 6 that were manufactured homes. And just in December, that's when those 12 were brought up for the conventional construction, but I believe there was only one that was brought in for manufactured homes. So with the building code changes that started January 1st, that's where we got that really big push, because it had more of an effect on the conventional construction.
So if they submitted prior to the end of 2019, is the review conducted under the 2019 codes?
Yes, yeah, that's correct. Yeah. And to answer your first question regarding the manufactured homes and where some of these applications are coming into, the manufactured homes I'm seeing mostly in White Mountain Estates, Levining, and Monroe City. And conventional construction is mostly Swell Meadows and June Lake areas is where I'm seeing.
Thank you.
Could you just enlighten me and anybody who's interested a little bit on the timing or the timeline of approximately how long does it take since you've been here since August and you've seen some conventional and manufactured, how long does it take from coming in to getting your permit for both of those different types? I imagine one is faster than the other.
Yeah, the review process for the manufactured homes, we can do everything in-house, whereas conventional construction, we're sending for the building, the fire sprinkler reviews, we're sending that to Inner West down in Southern California. So there, it does allow us to go through the process a little bit quicker. And there's less involved because the requirements for manufactured homes goes by HUD rather than the California Building Code. So as far as timeline, it mostly depends on the quality of submittal. If it has to go through several plan checks for corrections on the plans, then it'll obviously take a bit longer, but we like to get through the reviews within 2 weeks. So with the conventional construction, it seems to take a little bit longer for resubmittals because they have to go through an engineer and designer, which can just be more involved and take a bit longer. So I would say on average of the ones that I've taken in since I've started, I would say on average about 4 to 6 weeks.
For conventional.
Yeah.
And 2 weeks for
manufacturing. Yeah. I would say 2 to 4 weeks for manufacturing.
Thank you, Melissa.
All
I guess I'm going to ask kind of a, what sound may sound like an unusual question. You're obviously at the counter. And so everybody that comes in for a permit is interacting with you. And you have a unique perspective, having been there for a short time. And everybody wants, from the time the supervisor has, you know, timeliness is an important thing. Overall, how's that interaction going in terms of expectations of customers, your experience? How's it going?
I think overall, I feel pretty positive about most of them. There's some holdups on some, and some of it is homeowners wanting to take it all on themselves and not having the experience. I think that's the biggest struggle. So being able to provide that support to them is really important, I think. And being able to provide them the information on what the expectation should be up front, I find is really important as well. So that way they can foresee and they can kind of start working on some of the items that may be an issue, or you know, just kind of realize their timeline expectations too. Sometimes they expect, you know, I'm turning in the application submittal now, I want to start breaking ground in 2 weeks and explaining that up front rather than them finding out the wrong way.
Sure. Thank you.
Yeah. Supervisor Peters? All right, is there any public comment on this item? And I'm sorry, I may have on item B neglected to ask for public comment, so if you'd like to comment on the prior item too, you're welcome to. And I wasn't sure. I don't want to deny the public their opportunity.
One more question. Grading permits, building permits, are they able to apply for both at your counter?
Yes, so I take them on, if an applicant knows that they'll need a grading permit, I take that in myself and I work with Public Works. I don't issue the permit, but I work with Public Works to issue
it. Okay, and when that permit would be ready, they could pick it up at your counter also?
Public Works directly with the applicant. I haven't had any picked up.
You haven't permitted any ADUs, have you?
Not within my time here, no.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Now on to item D, overview of Mono County Housing Programs. So, Andy, Sabrina, and Megan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So this is really a collaborative item. I'm going to give the overview, but there are others in this room who are really experts on the individual items, so if there are any particular questions, I'll defer to those folks. So this just gives an overview of what we see as the current county capacity for housing programs, and then the programs that are currently ongoing and what we're looking to in the future. So under current county capacity, there's actually some funding available, which is a nice change in what we can report to the Housing Authority. So there's the Affordable Housing Fund that has some money available in it. And then we have some funds that are still coming, the SB2 grant, which the board had approved that scope of work in, I think it was October of last year. We did submit that grant application, but we have not heard back yet from the state on when we might receive those funds. The housing mitigation ordinance goes into effect in early February. That will start to generate some funds. And then there is also another grant called the Regional Early Action Planning Grant that we've been contacted about, and Supervisor Kreitz has been on some of those emails. And so there's some other funds that may come in through that. And then staffing capacity, we've already discussed that the county is looking at the new housing coordinator position, and then the county departments that participate in housing activities, including the CAO's office, finance, community development, social services, and behavioral health, continue to just work with our staff to implement these programs. And then we have partnerships with external organizations such as EdMACA and Amplace Housing, and then we communicate with the town as well on an as-needed basis. So as far as the current programs that we have at the moment, They're really broken into just a couple of different types. We have rental units, just the ones in Benton that are managed by the county. And then we have several programs that are intended to help with the cost of housing, whether that's the revolving loan fund or the first-time homebuyer program or Section 8 vouchers, which, as we've noted before, is administered through the Stanislaus Housing Authority. And then there's also transitional housing programs. The future programs that are identified, were just the various county departments are working on those, and they're identified from the housing element as well as the toolbox. And that's just sort of a brief overview of the types of programs that staff is working on internally. So with that, if there are any questions about any specific programs, we'd be happy to collectively answer with the staff.
Any questions or any need for updates on any particular programs?
Well, I guess I see here that there's still talk about a project in Walker, and I see that Amanda is here on behavioral health. Is there an update on that? And maybe the one in Manhattan.
Yes, since you're here.
Yeah. Sure. I'm happy to provide an overview of behavioral health housing projects. I'm Amanda Greenberg, I'm going to behavioral health. The Walker Housing Project still is on our books. We are planning to include it in our upcoming MHSA 3-year plan for fiscal years 2020 to 2023. And we are still looking at a 4-unit project and considering the need for mental health housing up in Walker versus general affordable housing, and considering potential partnership opportunities for doing, for example, 2 units of mental health housing, perhaps 2 units of general affordable housing, still working with the Stanislaus County Housing Authority on that project, and really are looking to, I guess, re-engage with them hopefully this summer. Does that answer your questions about Walker?
Is there something holding it up, I guess, because I feel like we've been talking about it for a little while, so I'm just curious. I know, yeah, so if you could just talk about maybe some of the obstacles or.
Sure, I think that in general, as you know, our department has undergone a significant staff transition, so I think that that's been part of the shifting priorities on this project. I think originally there was a holdup around determining the need up in Walker and kind of understanding the ebb and flow of the housing need up there. And through that process, it's come to our attention the amount of need for general affordable housing that's up there, as well as and the amount of kind of inadequate or substandard housing that's up there, that you know, we could meet some need through having a couple of units for general affordable housing.
And that's something your department, you would take on, or is that something you can't take on?
No, that would be something that we would look to partner with, perhaps the COC or some of this other grant funding that's coming down the pipeline. And we've been in conversations with other potential partners on the project.
And I'm assuming you're using the housing needs assessment to help determine the needs for that area, because it was community specific.
Yes, and I will make sure that I review that as well. And then for the Mammoth Housing Project update, we still are pursuing a 30 to 45 unit project here in Mammoth. We have a developer, Integrity Housing, who was chosen through an RFQ process, falls ago. We're actively seeking a site here in Mammoth for that project. That's a 1 to 2 acre site, and we're pursuing both publicly and privately held sites that are both on and off the market. So that is unfortunately no greater update than the update that was provided at our MHSA presentation in December.
What's the term on that agreement? Do you happen to have it or recall? I mean, it's not open-ended. There has to be a time.
The exclusive negotiating rights agreement was up December 31st, 2019. Integrity Housing just submitted a year-end report, including a request for extension of the agreement.
I think
think at that last meeting we did talk about looking at options B and C and such.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions for Ben?
Just that, you know, as recently as a couple of weeks ago, we met Amanda and Robin and I to talk about the Walker Project, and I know that a lot of the consternation is the tenant mix and the what you need to qualify for MHSA funding and how to guarantee what that mix would be. And can you talk more about that? Because that's, you know, we have our housing needs assessment, but also the specific behavioral health component to that project.
Yes, so, you know, one of the funding streams that we had originally considered for that project was the No Place Like Home grant funding. And unfortunately, that funding is just not especially friendly for small counties. We are eligible for a $500,000 non-competitive grant allocation. However, that funding has to go to a project that is five or more units unless it's going to be shared housing. And shared housing is extremely hard to manage, and so it would be non-feasible to put in shared housing up in Walker since we don't have full-time and even 24/7 staff up there. And so with that funding stream being out, we're just considering not only the need, but also what other funding we can use or should use for that project.
Okay.
Also, I can give an update on the Davison property when that finished.
Okay.
Are we constrained in Walker to do everything stick-built, or could we use modular?
It is my understanding from our original discussions about this project that we could do a modular build. That's the model for this project. Our modulars built to stick-built codes.
And could we get to five units so we could use the funding?
Well, so even if we did do that, the minimum threshold requirements, I would have to review them, but I don't believe that, you know, I would have to review those. As it stands now, because of, I want to say there were some barriers related to the amount of land, the egress ingress issues, and the additional units.
And it's county-owned land?
Yes.
Maybe at some point we can get a presentation on where we are on this. I feel like I have a ton of questions and...
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Right. Any other questions for me? Thank you very much for the update.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Just very briefly, it seems timely to let the board know that I have kept in touch with the gentleman who purchased the Davison property. They are still awaiting the outcome of the potential change in the density bonus regulations of the town of Mammoth Lakes. And that did come up earlier, so it jogged my memory. Before they would be ready to proceed, they really do need that additional density. So I haven't been following the town's planning process, but I know there was some discussion of your board weighing in just to support the idea of making those density bonus rules more favorable for affordable housing, and maybe that's something that should come back to your board.
Yeah, I did attend both the town Mammoth Lakes Planning Commission meeting where they had a workshop on that, and then also the town council meeting where they also had a workshop. And I think there's the Nolan Babroff who's been spearheading the discussion around amending the town's local density bonuses in the room, so please feel free to weigh in, Nolan. But that is moving forward. I think that it might be coming back to them in February, perhaps. And it seemed favorable that it could be something that's going to move forward favorably. But I also would say that I think it would be behoove us if everybody's amenable to send a letter of support for amending the density bonus, the local density bonus law, because it's the one that gets used more than the state density bonus law. From my
because they changed, the town changed theirs from 2007 to what it is today, that's not as user-friendly as the one that they had prior to, and that one was used quite a bit. And so maybe we could write a letter to the town supporting them, and then I would be supportive of that.
I could agendize something for your February 4th meeting, if that is not too late.
Yeah. Nola, would you like to, and I also remind us that we have a joint meeting with town council on the 18th, but that might really, yeah.
Yes, Nola and Bob are off housing coordinator for the town Mammoth Lakes. So yeah, the item is tentatively scheduled for planning commission on February 12th for a public hearing. And then pending the outcome of that meeting, it would be going to town council in March. So it's tentatively scheduled, I think it's March 4th and March 18th are the council meetings. It's the first and third Wednesday in March. A letter of support from the Board of Supervisors would definitely, I think, be beneficial to the process, letting the commission and council know that the board's in support of the proposed amendments. So.
And would you might be better to see what the planning commission does in February and then go from there to get a letter to the town council in, or what's your take?
Yes, I think it comes down to ultimately the county's timing and how, you know, they want to wait for the commission to see where they ultimately land and what they're proposing, and see what the report, which will be out for public, I believe, next Thursday.
Yeah, I think it would make it easier for us to weigh in if we knew what was being considered. Because I saw the, you know, the workshop, but then I don't know what ultimately, how we could actually weigh in productively without knowing what's being finally proposed.
So wait until after.
That's
like, yeah, makes sense.
Yeah.
And it did seem like the council members supported the concept, but
yeah, a lot of the things. I mean, there were a lot. There were seven components that they were considering, and I think you got a pretty good gauge on all of them, and they were relatively consistent between the two bodies.
Yeah. So the ultimate proposal will be similar to what was presented in the workshop, taking some consideration from the council meeting and the commission with regards to concessions and incentives, and then
right,
ultimately likely putting out two options related to the use permit, whether it does really be kind of one item that the council can ultimately come to a decision on.
Okay.
Or provide direction on.
Right, right.
Thank you. I support waiting because the town planning commission would issue a recommendation, I'm assuming, to then we would have something to actually support.
Great, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, anything else on this item?
I just have one more question. On the grants to improve infrastructure, who is watching this item? Is it the planning and the community development department, or is that fall to public works, or? Who keeps an eye out for those, that program?
Community development certainly does. It's an opportunity, it's more of an opportunistic situation where when we see grants that may be applicable to special districts and those entities that deal with infrastructure, and I'm talking outside of county jurisdictional infrastructure, we will forward that information to them and offer to help in any way that we can. And for community development, that's been a common practice for us. When we see fire safety grants or other grants like that, we've always forwarded them on. As far as for infrastructure grants for county projects, then we pass those around internally between staff and assist each other as needed.
Thank you.
Does that help? Mm-hmm.
Anything else? All right, we'll move on to item E, Warren County's Home Investment Partnership Program update. Are you going to field this one for us?
And sincere apologies from Patricia for not being able to make it this afternoon, so I will cover the first time home buyer program for her. The program is currently funded through a home award at the amount of $500,000, so we're waiting for the standard agreement of the state to move that forward. If you have any questions about it, I can try to deal with them.
Any questions?
say if we're still waiting for money from the state?
We're waiting for the standard agreement. So we've gotten the award letter saying that we have a grant award, but we don't have the standard agreement, which allows us to enter into a contractual agreement with the state.
So we can't spend any until we have a contract.
Okay. We can't award any of that.
I think a little frustrated.
They are so behind. They are so understaffed. And you think that the standard can get something like that in a little more time and fashion, but it seems they're not very standard.
Yeah. And our $500,000 award is a pretty small award. Unfortunately, what we are trying to do with that grant, the competitive requirements on the home program and the CPG program that doesn't have financing is that you have two loans issued in 3 of 6 years and we're one loan short. So we had a goal to be able to ramp up and we can get three loans out of this. And if we can get them out really quickly, then we'll be back in competitive standing to be able to bring in larger awards.
And the home program typically has, is it a 2-year expenditure? Is there a way to get an extension on that? Or is HCD being amenable to that?
The communications I've gotten via email is that they are open to extensions, but they also told me to bring up our standard agreement last June, so.
Last June?
Yeah, they're like a year or more behind.
Wow.
I notice in the fiscal impact that there are no Tri-Valley communities. Is that because particularly the Chalk Pond area, most of that, those folks work in Inyo County? Is there a lack of awareness potentially out there?
I do not know
Generally speaking, homes are less expensive out there. And we already talked about modular permits in the States.
I don't know the answer to your question, but we can do more marketing, more targeted marketing to that area. We have talked about how we want to get better, and that would be one way that we could do it.
We need some more homes provided, then it might be a place to go.
To qualify for the gap financing, you just have to be a resident in the unincorporated area of Loma County. In other words, the house that you're looking to purchase, it doesn't matter where you work, but you know, the residents that we have helped with this program, which is it's so great to see somebody who, you know, is in the lower income marks. They come from all walks of life, and to be able to purchase a home and become a homeowner. They don't have to work for the county, they can work for any county, they just have to live or have the house located within the unincorporated area of the county, and then they qualify as long as they meet the income eligibility.
Well, and my recollection is, having worked with Mammoth Lakes Housing for years, administering the county's programs, is that there have been homeowners and residents assisted in the Tri-Valley, but not with the home program, but with the community development block grant program. So it's not as if there's been no assistance out there. It just seems like not this program specifically. Yeah. But it is a great opportunity.
Thank you.
And I know we've talked about this before. We were successful, and correct me if I'm wrong, Megan, at getting a waiver. Originally, the county employees would not be eligible to participate in this program. You know, we have some employees that are paid minimum wage or around that area, but we got a waiver from the state in order to allow those employees to participate in the program. It's just that Megan and I can't.
Well, and you need a standard agreement to start doing loans.
Which has been in the mail since June.
Which, to our credit, we are proactive, so we can spend down the administrative. So we've got everything set up for the program ready to go. We just need the standard agreement to actually issue the loans. So we are ready to go as soon as we get the standard agreement. And to your point with regard to the Tri-Valley, those have been funded. We've got 1, 2, 3 out of the CDBG program out in Shell Pond. So, and one in Hamel. So the Tri-Valley is covered, just not through the home grant.
Okay.
But we can specifically
I don't think the public understands. I don't understand until Jennifer just informed me that the home grant and the community development block grant.
They both fund the same program.
Okay.
Four letters. That's the difference.
Okay.
They come from the same department at the federal level. It's just a different program, and I don't know the history behind why you have CDBG and you have HALT, but they're essentially similar requirements with similar program objectives.
Correct. The CDBG program also has a first-time homebuyer program as part of their funding. So this one is specific to HALT because that's who our current agreements with. And normally we cover the entire portfolio and then review the programs, but we did a very high level review this time, so we just got the detail of the home funded program.
All right, any other questions or comments? Thank you very much. And that is the last item on our agenda, so we will adjourn and I suppose look forward to. We have to have another meeting in 2020. Is this 2019's meeting, and now we have to have another meeting in 2020?
We can talk about that.
Okay. In any case, I know housing is a priority for this board and the Modo County Board of Supervisors, so we'll be talking more about our programs. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.